Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today, our One to One the World takes us to women in the auto industry, so stay tuned. Welcome, everyone. It's good to have you here, those of you who are going to be panelists today. Bill, isn't it nice to be together here to discuss this subject?
Great to be here today, Doris, and I really like this topic. I think there's a lot to talk about. It's a trends article. We're talking about women in the auto industry, but I think on a grander scale for our audience, particularly for our younger audience, younger ladies in the audience, this is applicable, I might say, as far as considering options in your career. So pay attention for the next 3 days as we talk about this.
Well, you know, I liked teaching, and I studied teaching and children's talking and music and things like that. That's the kind of thing a lot of women study, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Amanda with us today, and she's one of our teachers, and we're glad to have another woman in the class today. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you, and thank you, listeners. I'm also looking forward to today's topic. I think it's interesting to see what is happening in the auto industry and also what is happening for women right now.
Well, you know, Amanda, some people have said, why don't you have more people with different accents, not just Americans on there? Well, I want you to know that Amanda is from New Zealand, and she has a New Zealand accent. So for those of you that want a different accent, there you go. And that's also kind of a British accent, isn't it, Amanda?
That's right. Yeah, our education system is very British. Our spelling is very British. And how we're brought up is, the culture-wise, is also quite British.
So, for those of you that want another culture, we got it right here, Amanda. Thanks for coming.
I do know other accents, Doris. You want me to be a French man? I can be a French.
No, Mel. You stick
you
to the American.
You want me to be Italian? I can be Italian.
No. We even have Canadians in here sometimes, but you know. Right. No Canadians today. But actually, Bill, another reason I thought it was good for Amanda here, because she's been in a kind of a career before she was teaching here that was quite different. She wasn't a mechanic, but I think a lot of our listeners know that Amanda was a police officer in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But everybody doesn't know
yeah.
that. Well, I like to tell them that. That's kind of fun. Aren't they surprised?
They're very surprised, often because... Thank you, Bill. Sounded exactly like the siren I would use. It's not normal for a lot of women also to enter the police force. So when they hear that I was one, then sometimes they'll say, oh, but you're too nice to be a police officer.
Police officers can be nice. We know that. We've got
right.
a lot of nice police officers. Well, in Australia, are there, and New Zealand, in that area, are there quite a few police women, though?
Yes, there are quite a few in Australia and New Zealand, and particularly in the station that I worked in, we had a larger number of female police officers.
Now, these are not just people that work as secretaries in the office and the policemen. They're actually police officers, right?
We are. We're frontline police. So if you call the emergency number, we would be the people that would come to your house.
Now, when you, as a police officer, did you go out in a car with a male sometimes, one man, one woman?
Yes, often. Or we would even work with another female police officer. Generally, one of us had more experience than the other. Sometimes when I was in charge, I would actually have to be by myself. But you do work as a team, so you can call on the other cars or
right.
the other team to come and assist you.
I think Amanda is great, that she is a living, breathing example of thinking outside the box, which gets to what I was talking about, Doris, how this is relevant for our audience of young ladies who are in high school and university, even young professionals, to think outside the box mm-hmm. and to consider careers that may not be maybe considered traditional.
Mm-hmm. So if I would ask a lot of young people today in the universities and even in the high school, what would you like to be when you finish school?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a lot of them would say, I'd like to be an auto engineer?
No. I don't think very many would say that.
So we're going to find out about this. So women in the auto industry. Now, remember, the auto industry has a lot to do not only with mechanical and things that have to do with electronics, but there's design and safety. There's a lot of elements of that. So any profession has different sides to it. Let's remember that, too.
Yes.
It says female auto engineers make marks. While outnumbered, make marks means they do things that are noticeable. People notice them. And maybe because there aren't very many of them, they do. But we're going to talk about that subject. So let's start by reading now on page 42. Let's take the first section of the lesson.
Women in the auto industry. Female auto engineers make marks while outnumbered. Alicia Bowler Davis was the first General Motors plant manager to also lead a vehicle launch for the Chevrolet Sonic. At Chrysler, Chris Barman headed the team that designed the new Dodge Dart. Rebecca Seiler and Jennifer Shaw helped develop some of Ford Motors' advanced safety technologies that prevent crashes. Female engineers, despite their stubbornly small numbers in all industries, increasingly have a big impact on vehicles and safety features. Yet, of the estimated 28,000 engineers working in automotive fields who are members of SAE International, only 1,500 or 5% are women. The group, formerly known as the Society of Automotive Engineers, has more than 138,000 members. There have certainly been strides, but certainly not as much as the employers would like, says Betty Shanahan, executive director of the Society of Women Engineers.
So we have this lady's name here, Alicia Bowler Davis. Now, sometimes in America, you have a hyphenated name like that. I think British people do that more, don't they?
Yeah, we do, actually.
It's when people
get married, but they like to keep their maiden name.
So they do what? They put a hyphen in it.
Right. Right.
So then their kids have that name for their last name?
Actually, they do. And that happened with my sister. When she got married, she kept her maiden name, which, as you know, my name, Yongapir, is quite a long name.
It is.
So my nephew went to school with this very long name. But they decided when he was old enough to choose, he could choose whether to keep it or just to keep his dad's name. So
they could have both names together. It would be long.
Very long.
What if you marry somebody, then you've got two names on this side and two names? That's four names. No wonder those British names are so long.
It gets very complicated. Can you imagine, typing in your email address and everything?
Yeah,
it would
that's
take
right.
forever.
But anyway, this lady, she was the first General Motors plant manager to lead a vehicle launch to start out a new brand of something, launching this new car, the new Chevrolet Sonic.
Yeah, so this is big, Doris, a new vehicle launch, this Chevy Sonic. It's a new car, a small car that they make. But the key to a vehicle launch is that everything is new. They had to change over all of the assembly lines and the tooling within the plant, and there's always the chance that there's going to be problems with the cars later on when it's brand new. And so this is a major responsibility, launching a new vehicle.
But, Bill, you noticed that she was the plant manager.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And that's a very big responsibility. Plant, obviously not from our flowers and trees. It's something that we say when it is a factory here producing cars. And she's in charge of that whole factory.
Right. And then the second girl, what about her at Chrysler?
Right. At Chrysler, we switch over to a different auto manufacturer, Chrysler. Chris Barman, well, she headed a team that designed the new Dodge Dart. So she was working on a team that designed another vehicle.
Now, when you read that name, Chris Barman, when I'm reading that, and I don't know, we're talking about women, also many men are named Chris. Christopher.
Yeah, we actually might see males normally will go with that spelling, C-H-R-I-S.
Right.
If we have a female, sometimes it might be K-R-I-S to represent the female. So
not
this is a little
bit I think a lot of women,
spelling.
I think her name is Christine or something, and she might have just called
Could
her
be.
Chris for short.
Right.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Chris or
but
Christine.
Anyway, she headed this team that designed the new Dodge Dart. That's another small car.
It is. And Dodge is quite a famous brand in America, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, it is. It's one of Chrysler's several brands that they have. And then we even see even more here in the next sentence, Doris. This Rebecca Seiler and Jennifer Shaw, well, they were over at another manufacturer, Ford.
The Ford is a main competitor of Chevy. Mm. Usually those are about the same price range. So people say, should you buy a Ford or a Chevrolet? We call them Chevys. And those two are kind of usually sort of the same price, and they're pretty much competitors.
Yeah, and what you see here is that over at Ford there, they had worked on developing an advanced safety technology that helps prevent crashes.
So women were working on that.
And what I, you know, right in these first three examples I can see, Doris, is actually all of them could have different disciplines as far as their engineering fields. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the Rebecca Seiler and Jennifer Shaw might have had design engineering mm-hmm. degrees. Chris Barman might have had design engineering. The other two ladies had maybe some type of electrical engineering, whereas Alicia Bowler Davis had
well, she was the manager,
industrial engineering. That might have been her degree.
Mm, plant manager.
Plant
right?
manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
So different phases in that. But mm-hmm. it says over here in line 9 that female engineers, now it says in spite of or despite, even though they are not very many. It says they're stubbornly small numbers. This idea of stubbornly, they're just using that to mention that it seems strange that there aren't very many. It's like people are against them being it. But really, I don't know if that's a good choice of words there, because in spite they're very small numbers, because there's nothing very stubbornly about it. It seems like, how come there aren't more? But then that's a matter of choice, isn't it?
Well, it is choice. I think the reason the writer chooses stubbornly small, meaning the number hasn't changed much over decades. And we have to keep in mind that the writer is approaching this from the perspective, not really, you know, maybe saying, okay, this is a choice that women right. make to go into this field or not. Keep in mind, listeners, it is a choice.
Right. But it's kind of like, well, people are resisting the engineers, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that more later. But it says that these female engineers have a big impact on vehicles and safety features. To have an impact on something is very important.
It is. It's very important. Impact, of course, can apply to just hitting something very hard or also making a big influence. And we learned about Rebecca Seiler and Jennifer Shaw. They actually worked with Ford on advancing the safety technology. So they, too, have gone into impacting the auto industry with vehicle and safety features.
So it tells us here some statistics here. And it tells us that out of 28,000 engineers that work in this automotive, it has to do with the automobile industry, the automotive fields, and they're also members of this Automotive Association, SAE. How many are women?
5%. 1,500 of that 28,000 of the automotive engineers. And it's a small group. And that's pretty representative. That's what I have seen when I was back working in business, in the corporate world. 5% was about right in the technical fields.
So it says this group that was formerly known as the Society of Automotive Engineers has more than 138,000 members.
That's a little confusing. And as I read this, Dorson, mm-hmm. so I thought, okay, let me find out what's going on here with this. It's really confusing, this SAE. And they do have 138,000 members. Now, first off, that includes engineers not only in the automotive field, but also in the aerospace industry, also in the rail industry, even in shipping. So they are consolidating several industries. Automotive is just one.
That's why there's so many then. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. why there's 138,000 right. members, and that's why they changed the name. Formerly Automotive Engineers, it's now just SAE because they represent so many different fields. So even though they have 138,000 members, only 28,000 of that are actually working as automotive engineers in the automotive field.
Well, that's too many numbers to remember. Just say 5%. That's easier to remember, isn't it? Okay. Only 5%. No matter how many there are, only 5%. But there have been gains or different improvements are coming along. There have been strides. Strides is a big, long step. You're not just a small little step, a big step about the woman, and this is what we're going to find out about.
That's right, but not as much as the employers would like. And this is being spoken by Betty Shanahan, and she is an employer herself. She's the executive director of the Society of Women Engineers.
SWE.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Strides, I think of an Olympic runner going around the track, taking very long steps to make great progress.
Right. So we know that there are not very many. That's what they're telling us now. There are not very many women engineers in the automotive business. Now, it told us that there are some and what they've done, but there's not very many. So that's the subject, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's really what we're talking about, women in the auto industry. We're going to recognize some of them who are in it and have succeeded and also talk about, well, why aren't there more and how do we get more in that field?
Okay, and we're going to find out why they're so rare, or not very many of them. Why are they a rarity? Why are there so few? Let's read on.
Why are they a rarity? The reasons for the scarcity of female engineers in the auto industry are varied and complex. The recession had a particularly chilling effect on U.S. automakers, which led to thousands of job losses and an exodus of women and others to other industries. But the ranks of female engineers are thin elsewhere, too, and societal factors often get the blame. The number of women earning bachelor degrees in engineering increased dramatically in the 1970s and 80s, due in part to a more feminist climate that encouraged women to consider traditionally male careers, Shanahan says. The growth began to level off around 2000, however. A 2010 report by American Association of University Women concluded several factors influenced the dearth of women in science, technology, engineering, and math. It found that women had to grapple with stereotypes, that they weren't as capable as men in those fields, and contend with sometimes unwelcoming science and engineering departments in colleges and universities.
Well, why are they so scarce anyway?
Well, we go on to see some reasons for the scarcity or lack of female engineers in the auto industry. They say they are varied and complex.
Okay, so there's a lot of reasons, and the reasons are complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. It's not simple, not just one thing. And the writer gets into some of those reasons. The first one we see in line 9, the writer
recession.
Says the recession.
Bill, I don't know about that. They blame the recession for everything, don't they?
I actually don't think that is a significant factor in why there's 5% of engineers, female engineers.
I think
that number 5% existed before the recession.
I think so.
Because
it said this is a particularly chilling effect on the automakers. Well, that's true, that they had to cut down. But the percentage probably didn't change too much.
No, I think the percentage did not change much. Now, the recession did cause thousands of people to lose jobs, that is true. But that was up and down the ranks in the automotive industry. It was executives and it was people working out in the factory. So everybody, every sector lost jobs.
You notice down here that they said that was an exodus of women. Now, exodus is a word we don't often use in our conversation, but what does it mean?
It means that large groups of people or a large group of people leave at the same time.
Right.
So I think also what you're saying, Bill, is that there was a lot of men just as well as women that were leaving at that time.
Yeah. So that's not really a good reason, I don't think, but it's one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says the ranks or the amount of female engineers are thin elsewhere, which means they're very few. And why is that?
Well, the writer says here, and societal factors often get the blame. That's true in that societal factors do get a blame. Whether societal factors are wholly responsible for this, I don't know.
And societal factors is an interesting term. We didn't mark it, but what does it actually mean?
Well, we might say societal factors are things like, okay, as far as income levels, where you live,
black or white or Spanish.
Ethnic levels, ethnic groups, right? Things like that that you are part of, they are often credited or blamed for holding people back.
So they get the blame. They say, though, these are the things. But is that the real thing?
No, I mean, it's part of it, but it doesn't give us the true picture. I mean, the author goes on to say the number of women earning bachelor degrees in engineering has actually increased dramatically during the 1970s and 80s.
I'd like to see numbers on that. Yeah. Okay, now, when we say increased dramatically,
I'm thinking
when I was in school, Doris, and I was at university 1979 to 1983, I would say about maybe 5% of the engineering students at that time were females. I don't know what the numbers are now. I would need to find out and see, okay, when we say dramatically increased, what does that mean?
That means like up to 40% to me, but
I don't think it's increased.
That's dramatically, Bill.
Maybe 10 or 20%.
Okay.
So I'd like to know the numbers.
Okay. Well, why did they increase? What does it say here?
Well, it says due in part, and a reason for it is to a more feminist climate. So an atmosphere or an environment that encouraged women to consider taking on traditionally male careers.
Well, you know, when you think about it, IT started later on, and that time a lot of women went into IT departments and things too. So I think the opportunities are different types of things for women are more, just like they are for men. There's jobs now that they didn't used to have. For instance, when you made a car before, you didn't have to have all of the technology that you have now. They're quite different, and they think of the safety vessels and the airbags and the electronics that are in them and everything. They didn't have all that. When my father was a mechanic, they didn't have any of that stuff.
Right, so we're getting more specific with the needs that we have.
Right.
Well, I think you make a good point, too, Doris, in that some engineering fields are more attractive than other engineering fields.
There's design in automobiles.
Computer engineering, design engineering is actually more attractive for females than maybe automotive engineering might be. I even knew some of my high school friends went and majored in mining engineering in university, and women aren't going to go into mining engineering, but they might go into computer engineering, so you make a good point.
So anyway, the growth began to level off at about 2000. So in other words, it increased, but then it kind of stayed the same. Now, in 2010, they had this report by AA, it says American Association of University Women, and what did they say?
Well, they concluded several factors that influenced the lack or the dearth of women in science, technology, engineering, and math.
And that's a lot of different fields there, right? What did they find out then?
Well, it found that women had to grapple with stereotypes. They weren't capable as men. I'm going to stop there first off. They had to grapple.
Struggle.
With. They had to struggle with. That's right. And then also that word up above it, the dearth, is a good word. That means that something is – there's a shortage of something.
Right.
So they had to grapple with these stereotypes.
Because the fact that they weren't as capable of men in those fields. And also, they had to contend with something. Contend with just means they had to put up with the idea. They were sometimes unwelcome in these science and engineering departments in colleges and universities. I wonder if that's true. Do you think they were unwelcome in those schools? I mean, I don't think a lot of women apply for that, do they?
I'm thinking back to my experience at that time when I was in school. I would say the professors, the schools probably were okay with the women.
They're surprised, maybe surprised.
And maybe a little surprised. I would say the biggest problem the women that I went to school with might have had were with the fellow students, the male students who were studying those engineering fields. They might have been very cold to them and not treated them this as well.
But that's speculation. That's speculation, you know. It all depends.
Yeah, I mean, it's speculation.
Don't you think? Well, when I was at school, many of my friends actually went into engineering or computer science. Actually, at the time, computer science
women?
Was the big...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a lot of my
were
female
they sort
friends.
Of... Did people look down on them or anything?
No, it was very popular, actually.
Mm. See, well, okay, so that shows at least some progress in there. It's... This goes back even to high school. In what direction... What do we do as far as for young ladies who are juniors and seniors in high school... Are we encouraging them to apply to universities to be engineers? I think the influence they're getting in high school still is towards these other more traditional fields for women. And maybe
design and management and other things, HR.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it even starts then in high school that we need to start encouraging women who do have skills in math and science to say, hey, look, why don't you consider engineering? Why don't you consider some of these other fields?
Well, this might be a good question for you to talk about with your friends. Why are they a rarity? Why are there so few women in some of these things? Talk it over with your friends. See what they say. See what they have to say to you. And send us some comments so we can put them on our website and see what you think, right?
Right. And also, our listeners can go to our Facebook page. And I'd love to see what you say. I always check our Facebook page. I know Amanda does. We like to see what our listeners have to say about this topic. I'd love to see what our female listeners have to say about this topic. It's very sensitive and very important.
Do societal factors keep you from being an engineer? That's a good question. Or why are they a rarity? Why are there so few? We'll talk about it more, but you talk about it with your friends. It's a good topic to discuss, isn't it?
That's right. And tomorrow we can grapple it some more.
We will. We'll be back tomorrow to grapple with the subject, to see what we can find out. You all be here with us, and Bill, you and Amanda will be here.
I'm looking forward to more grappling, so
same
that
time.
Sounds great.
Same time, same station. So, okay, jayo, everybody. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.